My life is clean, but my Diet Coke is always dirty.
Ooh, that's a good one.
No.
It is.
You go.
In a town full of dirty lies, everyone can use a sound bath.
You can leave!
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travishana.
And this is Privileged Twinks. It's a podcast.
Indeed.
Where we recap.
It is a sound bath where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I don't know why I thought that was a sound bathy sound, but it wasn't.
That's in Utah. this reminds me. I found this app and it's supposed to, you like record 7 minutes of yourself talking and then it's supposed to like eventually know your voice and you can put in any song and it'll put your voice to the song. Mm. Yes, I paid $8.99 for it.
You did it?
But it hasn't come out yet. It hasn't like fully made my voice yet. Like it says it has like 35 minutes remaining.
The scary thing about all that stuff is the lack of like identity control that exists on the internet. So, because I've seen some people who have, you know, a certain number of followers and somebody's already spoofed, like somebody's done that to them and they have a separate account where you can, it's like a chat bot and like you can just talk to that person, but they have no control over that.
I know.
That's crazy.
I thought of that when I was doing this, but then I was like, there's so much of my voice on the internet. It doesn't. This app doesn't need me to record it for them to steal it.
Right. It's just crazy that stuff like that exists. And now it's like, it was already hard to tell fake stuff before. And now I think in the future it's just going to be like crazy.
Yeah.
Who knows what's real?
Well, back to the Bravoverse. BravoCon is officially over. We have, since recording the last episode, watched 4 new episodes of Housewives.
I know.
Beverly Hills, Miami, and Potomac.
Miami.
Oh, and this.
Banging.
Miami was, we came out with a bang, for sure.
Potomac, sizzling. Beverly Hills.
Blah.
Bouncing.
It was a boring episode.
It was okay. It wasn't like, it was good.
I literally can't even remember what happened.
Well.
Well, let's recap. What did happen, though?
They went to... It ends with them arriving in Vegas.
That's right.
And then, before that, I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, we also binged all of Selling Sunset, which was a good season.
Yeah, this was a good season of Selling
Sunset. I'll say it was a really good season, honestly.
Yeah. Really, the first one was good, and this one was good. And all the ones in between, I don't know.
Last season, I think, was kind of leading up for this one to be good. If I remember right. Yeah, highly recommend watching that, especially if you're a Housewives fan. It is very similar worlds that they live in. And Potomac, I am a little bit over the Robin of it all. Like, I just wish she would say, Juan and I are dealing with things. Can you just leave it at that? Instead of trying to say she believes this clearly fake bullshit lie at the hotel thing.
Yeah.
Also, did you see that Andy opened the show by saying, like, we have everyone... We, like, paid for everyone's hotel rooms this year. So, Juan Dixon, you don't have to take your credit card out.
Ooh!
Something like that.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. And, I don't know, there's been... that's also in talks that we might be getting a Dubai trailer soon, too.
I was like, did they cancel it? Because the last one came out, last BravoCon, it had already come out.
It was before Last
Miami. Yeah, so, right. So I was like, are they just not releasing it?
But I think it is Peacock programming, technically. So maybe it's like a little bit...
Or maybe they
have different schedules.
Maybe they rearranged, like, the time of year certain ones were going to come out, and because Dubai is newer, it got bumped back instead of up.
Probably, because otherwise Dubai would probably be airing right now, too.
Yeah.
Which would be a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, as it relates to Salt Lake City and BravoCon, Monica looked a little different.
Oh, yeah, she did. I forgot we haven't talked about any of this stuff. I think she
although
just
it looked just
got
like
her
she
cheeks risen. She maybe lost a little
risen.
Bit of weight.
I think
risen
it was
indeed.
I think it was to me. It could just be weight loss because
it was not just weight loss.
Well, yeah, I didn't look at it long enough to say, but I could see it just being mostly weight loss.
Her lips were bigger. I think her teeth are faker, and her cheekbones.
I don't think
were
her
higher.
Lips are bigger.
They were.
There was something towards the jawline that looked. That's what looked the most different to me is like the back part of the jaw and the upper cheek, like this area right in front of your ear. But people hold weight differently in their face, and like
true.
That could just be weight loss. So that's why I say I don't know. I mean, there's no judgment if it's not just weight. I'm just saying.
Yeah. She also didn't get a single photo with any of the ladies.
Yeah, that was the big kahuna.
And supposedly none of them are talking.
Right.
And on Las Cult today, Las Cult Recess, another good podcast to listen to if you like Housewives, Matt Rogers was actually one of the BravoCon panel hosts, so he was there for a while, and he was saying that the tea that everyone is saying is that whatever is on that phone call that Heather gets mm-hmm. is about Monica, because remember, she's like, how could she do this to all of us?
Yeah.
Whatever she does, people are saying it's like the craziest thing to happen on this show. Which is crazy, like, a lot of crazy shit has happened on this show. So what could it possibly be?
Yeah, I have no idea.
That's just what he said. So I don't know, maybe that's people exaggerating, but still.
Yeah, because the whole Jen
right.
Shaw at
yeah,
all
obviously.
Is insane. So
But the Jen Shaw stuff, like, everyone, it was kind of common knowledge when it happened. Like, before. Because, you know, they're filming. Everybody knew Jen Shaw got arrested.
But I just mean that whole situation was crazy. So what could be crazier than all of that?
But I'm just saying maybe it's, like, because it's so an unknown thing that the audience is going to be shocked about. Because at least the Jen stuff, like, you knew that was going to happen that season before.
I hope it's not too bad because I could probably ride through a lot of stuff for Monica because I like Monica a lot.
Well, Andy the whole season was saying he loves Monica. The whole weekend. And all the panels.
Gotcha.
So I don't think he would be saying he loves Monica if he doesn't intend to have her back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alright, do you want to start with this episode?
Yeah.
Alright, so we open with Monica and Angie at this little, like, cute little dessert shop. She gets a tiramisu cake, Angie gets a strawberry cake, and Angie brought Monica, like, a children's book that's, like, for self-love.
She did pivot. She didn't fully sell it. Like, there have been... This gift has happened before on Housewives.
Right.
Where the book is given as a slight to the other person. But those were much more direct. Whereas she did spin it off to being about, like, oh, this is for your kids.
Right.
Like, for you, but for you and
book.
Your kids.
Yeah.
Well, what's her name? Got a kid. Karen gave somebody a kid's book. Who was that? Who was that? Giselle. She gave Giselle a book on etiquette. Wasn't it a kid's book?
I don't think it was a kid's book. I think it was an adult book. But
there was another one on Beverly Hills, too, where they gave a book about manners.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
Yeah, I guess the intentions were good. Mm-hmm. So she basically is like, I felt terrible the way you left and, like, sad with the whole mom thing. And, Monica also feels that it went bad, like, hates that it went bad, and she basically, I mean, the whole thing was, she just keeps alluding to, like, yeah, it was bad, but, like, you don't know the stuff, like, we don't know all the stuff about my mom and all this stuff, and Angie is kind of like, I'm still a little pissed off because you were, like, spreading this rumor about my husband. She's like, no, Meredith is spreading the rumor. She's like, no, but Lisa was saying that, like, you were saying my husband is good and bad and all this stuff. And she's like, no, I said your husband, the rumor is your husband has boyfriends. I said that, but I didn't say anything about him being good in bed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't say anything like that was going to damage your family more than this rumor that other people were already trying to spread.
Right.
Which obviously did come out of her mouth, but I do think Angie is kind of like, oh, okay, we can move on past that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still... The problem is that Monica's the one that said it on camera, so Meredith gets away with.
Right.
Just because that's worse than making the threat. But I think Meredith still has some responsibility.
Yeah.
In that she was doing the threatening.
I will also say, this whole scene, Angie sounds like a literal robot.
Okay, I have to counter say that while she does sound like a robot, this is the first episode where I've felt positive about Angie. And let me tell you why. Because even though her face does not move, nor does she emote, I appreciate people who, especially in Housewives, Angie keeps it moving. She has conflict, so she's not afraid of conflict. She's also not afraid to bury the hatchet. And she's not afraid to go back into it. And I do admire that about her, because she showed up to Palm Springs and she was like, what of it? Mm-hmm. And she did get mad at Monica, but now she's making up with Monica. She tried to make up with Meredith.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop her from getting involved, you know, in other things. So while I am not the biggest Angie stan, I did have positive thoughts about her this time.
Yeah. And I had a positive thought in a minute. So basically, Monica then starts going back and talking about her mom. She like, they kind of squash the beef about the husband thing or whatever.
Right.
And then she's like, Angie basically is just like, I was devastated for your kids about the whole mom thing. And she was like, I was devastated too, because that's like one of the only family gatherings my kids have been to in a long, long time. And it should have been like a core memory for them. It was a really sweet gesture to invite us. And then it ended sourly.
Yeah.
And then
Angie, which I mean was partly Monica's fault.
Yes, it was. She did start kind of trying to have a heated moment at the party, so that's not
but that
just on the mom.
Was what she was there for. I mean, it is a job. She's a housewife.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, this is when Angie, like, in her confessional, well, she says that she's like, I don't know if you knew this, but my mom dealt with like alcoholism. My life was hard as a kid, and she died when she was 8.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And I was going to say, this is one of the first moments I was like,
Angie's
the
person.
This is the vulnerability that, like, I want. Like, if you were just showing this in other moments, in, like, fights and stuff like that, not necessarily talking about your mom, but, like, just having some kind of emotions and feelings and passion and stuff like that,
yeah,
then I think I would be more on your team, because you're right. She does move the drama along. She does, like, always make sure to bring it up when it's in the right time and stuff like that to keep an episode entertaining. It's just that I wish, like, she could just be more of a person in those moments.
Yeah. It's just...
It comes off as, like, she's trying to guard a certain image instead of letting that, like,
out. Right. And, like, the previous episodes where she had to sit down with her husband, where she was already, like...
In full glam,
and you know they'd already practiced that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then the lunch with her dad, which was awkward, which I think that was real at the end, but that was awkward. But, like, you know, she just was, it was very, like, a shallow surface conversation.
But even when she's, like, fighting with Meredith and stuff, she says some kind of good reads, but then, like, Meredith says, might say something to, like, hurt her, offend her, and she just, like, sits there like a blank wall.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But they basically end the conversation with Monica saying she was, like, sorry about that. She didn't know any of those things. And they think they have more in common than they knew.
Right.
So they ended on a good place. Even though, apparently, later, Angie starts talking shit about Monica to Lisa again. There was a lot of, like, I feel like this episode took place mostly in one day. But there was a lot of flashbacks to, like, dinners and shit we did not see.
Yeah.
Like, where they just took, like, two snippets from each one.
Yeah.
Which makes me, again, wonder, like, how many hours do they fucking film this?
An obnoxious amount.
And how do people edit this? Like, right. I don't understand. It would be so much work.
Well, and also how many conversations that never, like, not even in a flashback make the cut, or don't make the show, but have still influenced how somebody's behaving on the show.
And we don't know it.
Right. That they're not going to show it, because really it doesn't, like, factor in some way, in, like, a direct way, but maybe...
Or it might not factor into the story they want to be telling.
Right, but still impacts how somebody might see somebody else or interact with them.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I will say, Lisa today, I don't know, or last night, was live tweeting this, and it's annoying because we watch it at 8 now. We've started doing live on YouTube TV, but it still comes out at, like, Pacific time for some reason.
I was
going to
say specific time.
So we watched it at 8 Pacific, but, like, obviously it came out at 8 Eastern. So they're all live tweeting it, but I don't know what they're what parts they're talking about, because it's hard to match it up. But Lisa tweeted, like, there's a huge part of this conversation that they didn't air, insanely huge part that informs, like, what my decisions or something like that. Mm. And I don't know if it's what she's talking about with, like, her, when she, her conversation with Whitney, or her conversation with Monica at the roller rink. So those are the only two that I could think that they would cut something that would, like, make her be more mad or something like that.
Mm.
Or come off as better, I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder what their contracts are, because I feel like you should still be able to say what you talked about. Like, an event that happened between you two is still your life. You know what I mean? Like, you still own that part of your life. You know what I mean? You can talk about the show, just not before it airs, because that's could be monetarily damaging for ratings. But at the same time, like, you can still, once it's aired, like, you should be able to talk about it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So what? So why can't she just say what part was missing? What happened that we don't know?
Yeah, no clue. Mm. So then we see Lisa bringing tiki torches over to Whitney's house for this luau, and they're like doing this kind of like splatter paint on it, which I didn't. I thought it was gonna be outside, so I was like, why are they doing this? But I guess because it makes sense if it's like
decor
in a roller rink. Like, you want things to kind of be glowing and stuff like that.
Tea, yeah.
So, we get this little part, which is, like, basically Whitney's mom wasn't going to come to the birthday party, but then Bobby asked her to, so I'm like, what's... That sounds like a strained relationship.
Yeah, we already knew that, though.
I know, but I just didn't realize it was, like, that strained that she wouldn't come to her granddaughter's birthday party.
Yeah. I don't, like, I have weird feelings about, I say weird. They're not weird. I just have a particular experience when it comes to grandparents, and I don't understand, I mean, maybe it's something I'll understand getting older or something. I don't know. I don't have kids, so I guess there's no plan to be a grandparent either, but I just don't understand how your relationship with your children can come in between your relationship with your grandchildren.
Yeah.
I accept that I do. I understand, like, a parent is a guardian of a child, and therefore, like, you kind of can't have one way or the other in some situations. And, you know, parents could use grandchildren as leverage against their own parents, which is bad. So I get that there's, like, nuance and stuff to it, but I just, there's a lot of times where I'm like, they're your grandkids.
Yeah.
Like, if you're beefing with your child, okay, but, like, show up for your grandkids.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Especially if they're in the same city.
Yeah. So, I don't get it.
I don't either. So, we find out that, she's turning 13, Bobby. And...
Bobby.
I loved that Lisa was like, imagine all the things she can do now that she's 13. I'm like, what new things can she do?
I know. But maybe, maybe there are things that they're like...
16.
Maybe there is something.
Well, apparently she can drive a golf cart all through town that's like the size of a car.
Yeah, true.
because Whitney says, so they're getting her a golf cart, and Whitney says that she can now, like, take her brother to school and be Whitney's Uber. Like, be her own Uber.
I can see how this is a thing, because my, okay.
13?
Yes, because my cousins that live in Florida live in a... like, a development. It's massive. It's huge. It's, like, outside of Tampa.
But is there a school?
It has a lagoon. There are schools there.
Within it?
Somewhere. They don't have kids, so I don't know. But I grew up in Jacksonville, and they have these big communities, too, that have... I'm sure the schools are in them. Like, you have to have schools for every certain number of houses or whatever. And every time I visit them, there are golf carts galore.
Yeah.
And some of them are being driven by kids. And so I can see, like, if it's all this, like, suburban residential development, and there's schools, you know, like, in that development, then I could see, like, she could be driving around. One, she's driving around with her friends in the neighborhood with a golf cart.
Yeah.
And then two, I could see how she would be able to drive them to school.
Interesting.
And maybe take drunk mommy to her friend's house.
To Heather's house.
Yeah.
So then this is when they have this conversation that kind of immediately goes off the rail. They kind of mention if they're going to bring Mary, if she's going to invite Mary. And then Whitney's like, well, every time Mary's been around my kids, it's not been good. And then they show the car crash scene with Mary talking about that, which I agree on that. I mean, and also, I wouldn't invite Mary after that dinner.
No, right.
But Lisa kind of immediately, like, when they bring up Monica, because Whitney says she invited Monica and her girls, Lisa's immediately like, well, she's abusive.
Right.
Which, I understand kind of what she means in that, like, she means that Monica has come after her for no reason before. But that's not the same thing. And that's not a mother abusing their kid or abandoning their kid and things like that. So, this episode mixed with the Columbia comments from last episode, I'm like, Lisa's not looking good in my playbook right now.
Yeah. Well, it's also like the bully. Not playbook, it's kind of how some people used to treat the bully word. They would throw a bully around too freely. Mm. It's like, yes, you could say somebody being verbally aggressive in certain situations could be abusive, but like just because somebody's speaking forcefully with you or having like a heated
calling
conversation.
Calling you materialistic is not abusive, Lisa.
Exactly. So you're just, it's very, you know, the white woman of it all.
She says, you can be abused and also be abusive. At this point, I don't value anything she says. And Whitney's kind of like, maybe don't say that. Especially who Whitney last season's storyline was about being abused.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lisa's...
And she's supposed to be your best friend now.
Right. I mean, she's not... The thing is like, the statement isn't factually incorrect. Abused people...
Yeah.
Can be abusive, but like, this is not abuse. So why are you talking about it?
Yeah, it was, especially after seeing Monica last week talk about everything and then watch that dinner with her mom. I know Lisa wasn't there for all of that. Actually, she wasn't really there for any of it. But if Whitney is saying like all these things, especially trying to tell her, I'm feel for Monica, and then Lisa immediately shuts it down. I just don't think it's a good look either.
Also, is this the part where she was talking about,
this is where they're outside.
The thought literally just ran out of my brain.
This is where they're outside in the patio chairs talking to each other.
Right, but she brings up another topic. Not another topic, but like another thing. But okay, just keep going.
She said she's using it as an excuse
That's
for
it.
Her horrible behavior toward her mom and toward all the other ladies.
That's what I was thinking of, the timing of it all. But I don't see this perspective, because I haven't thought Monica was saying these things as like, I'm being mean to people because of this.
No, it's like separate.
Yeah, she's just saying she got into an argument with her mom and now she's explaining the
Why?
Actual relationship she has with her mom. So I don't get the... It's not coming across to me that way, so why is Lisa saying...
Lisa keeps saying it's convenient timing.
Right.
Like, later in the episode, too. And I'm like...
But we haven't seen Monica say to anyone that she's like, oh, I was just being aggressive in Palm Springs because
right.
I've been abused, you know?
Yeah, she didn't say that.
Right. So, like, where
and
is
And I think
coming
Monica
from?
Would stand with everything she said. It's not a matter... It's not an excuse. It's, like, two things happening at once.
Right. So, I'm just... That really threw me for a loop for a second, because I was like, but, like, why is Lisa saying... It's convenient, because she feels like, oh, she's not allowed to be mad at Monica because Monica's talking about having issues with her mother? Like, I don't...
Yeah, I don't really understand it either.
Right. So that's another thing. I'm like, what are you talking about, Lisa? Lisa!
I think Lisa's just mad because she hates Monica after Palm Springs, and then everybody else is starting to like her.
And I don't want to jump the gun too hard on her, but, like,
well,
Lisa is pressed, and Monica knows it.
Yeah. And Monica knows exactly what to do to get on her skin.
Lisa can say she's bored all she wants. Monica is running around in her little brain hours every single day. And Lisa is pressed.
Truly.
Yeah.
So then Heather meets Meredith. Meredith's wearing this, like, all red suit. Which I liked, but it did seem a little bit, like, very formal for just going to a bar to, like, meet your friend. What did you think of it?
Is this where she has the...
This is where they're in the absinthe bar.
Oh.
And she's wearing an all red, like, shiny red suit.
See, the only thing I can remember is the red suit, which she had the bra under it. the bikini bra.
No, that wasn't the suit.
No, I know, so I don't remember what this suit looked like. I don't.
It's, someone, I think it was Crystal, maybe kind of, someone said she should just get implants on her shoulders that are, like, built-in shoulder pads.
Right.
She really does like those shoulder pads.
She just loves the jacket.
Okay, so they're talking about how Heather's daughter is going to prom, and, like, basically, like, can you believe your daughter's already, or all your kids are past prom already, and Meredith's like, yeah, grandchildren is, like, the next step, and they talk about Jack a little bit and the mission, and Meredith's like, I didn't know it was every day.
Yeah, 24/7. Well, I didn't really either. Like, they don't, I didn't, I mean, I knew it was intense, I guess, but, like, I didn't know it was 7 days a week for 2 years. I mean, that's pretty wild.
I just assumed it was. Huh. Because it's a pretty wild thing in general.
A service to the Lord.
So then Meredith feels, like, bad for Jack because Jack clearly wasn't brought up in, like, an orthodox way. Mm-hmm. And then now he's being forced into, well, not, obviously he's doing it on his own will, but I think he doesn't realize how, like, actual orthodox Mormons can be, is what she's saying. Because
Meredith is saying this?
Yeah. Because she...
Wait, who's she at dinner with? I forget.
Heather. Oh, okay. They're not at dinner. They're getting drinks.
Whatever.
There's not too much to this part. It's mostly just Heather is, like, bringing up the inconsistencies with Lisa's story. Mm. Because she says they're East Coast Mormon, and they both laugh because they're like, I didn't think... I think Mormon is Mormon. It's like... Just because you have a pastor who doesn't care as much about how you dress doesn't mean, like, you're in a different denomination of Mormon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Heather, I think the root of it is that Heather just feels like she's gotten so much shit for being this, quote, bad Mormon when Lisa's allowed to be whatever kind of Mormon she wants to be and then be, like, her son can still, like, go on a mission, and she can still be in the church and all this stuff.
Right.
This is when Heather problem. Gets a divorce, and then she's basically ousted out of the community that she loved. Whereas Lisa can have a tequila brand and say she wears strapless dresses to church, and nobody cares.
Right.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm. But it just sounds like she was running in very orthodox circles, and Lisa didn't.
Right.
Or wasn't introduced to those. Or because she wasn't one. I don't know. It's just a different situation.
Right. I think she's just like... But then Lisa does double down even later. And she's like, I am 100% a Mormon.
Blah, blah. I don't know. The way she was giggling, I was like, I don't think... I think she knows she's kind of joking.
I hope she does. I hope she was joking a little
She even
bit.
Said she's, like, not worthy of going into the temple.
Yeah, you're right. She did say that. Basically, at the end of this, Meredith says she, like... knows there's so much drama around her, she's not gonna, like, bring it up at the kid's birthday, and she's not gonna go to the sound bath thing. And she's gonna leave the birthday early. So then, at Whitney's house, Bobby is getting in glam. This part was just so cute.
Yeah.
They show her when she was, like, a one-year-old, and she looked so cute. And then she looks in the mirror and is just like, I have eyebrows!
Yeah. When she's getting her little lip liner, and she's like, make a normal face, relax your face!
I can't! I just also loved how Whitney was like, she's growing up, like, her first time in glam. As if, like, every child goes through a first time being put in glam.
Yeah.
We see at Heather's house, Annabelle and Georgia are going to the party, which I just wish my mom was a housewife. And I grew up with, like, little housewife friends and went to all their parties and stuff like that. And then, like... probably became famous at some point, too, you know?
Although most households, I don't think a lot of them have become famous.
That's true.
I mean, a few of them, for sure.
So then, Heather, like, FaceTimes with Angie, and she basically tells her that Whitney told her that Lisa told her the things about Monica's mom. So now everyone knows... except Monica, that Lisa's been talking shit about her and her mom's situation.
Right.
And they also talk about that Jack is going to Columbia, and that Lisa did this little, like, dinner to tell them where he was going. And so it was, like, Lisa and her whole family, and then Justin and Whitney and Angie and... her husband.
Sean.
Sean. Mm-hmm. Which makes Heather feel some type of way, even though I'm like, bitch, you were just talking about how you don't agree with Mission, so why would you be invited to the Mission reveal party?
Yeah.
That not even everybody was at. It's not like she invited everyone on the cast. She invited her closest friends.
Yeah. I feel like it's that the overriding thing is she feels like she's being excluded because she's a bad Mormon. And so maybe what she's really saying is there are other Mission reveal parties that her former friends are having for their kids and she's not invited anymore because she's a bad Mormon. Mm. And this is just another example.
And Whitney got invited, even being, though she...
Well, Lisa and Whitney are now... Are friends now, right?
Right. I mean, yes.
But technically...
Sorry, I made that face because I just got a notification that said body parts were found in a plastic bag and it's, you know, and just
Jesus
now.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
All right. Bummer. Anyways.
Sorry. I made a face and I thought you were reacting to... I thought you thought I was reacting to... What you were saying. Mm-hmm. In a crazy way.
What was I saying?
You were saying that...
What were we talking about?
I was talking about how Whitney was there, and Heather might consider her a bad Mormon, so why was she at this thing? But it is just because her family's close with Lisa's family. That's it.
Exactly. So Heather wasn't invited. But then Lisa has alluded to Heather being on her own journey, but she kind of made it sound like, well, this is later on. So let's not do that. We'll come back to it.
Okay. So at Whitney's house, Bobby's friends come over and they get in this huge party school bus thing and go to the ice skating rink. No, not ice skating. Skating rink.
Roller rink.
And Meredith wore a bikini for some reason. Because it's a luau. Tiki themed.
It's
yeah,
a luau. But still just a luau.
Oh yeah, that was cute too.
No.
Nobody... else wore, like, beach attire, though.
Right.
It was just funny. And they basically have, like, a whole, like, soda water talk setup going on.
But isn't the sody thing big in, like, Utah?
It is.
Where you, a soda bar where you mix stuff together?
It is. But I think it's also, like, bigger in, like, people who are 21. Like, instead of drinking, they'll go to the soda shop or whatever.
Yeah.
But some of it did sound good. I used to love getting, like, an Italian soda in college.
Right, for sure.
They had them at the coffee shop.
And we were talking about the Coke machines where you can, like, it's, like,
literally,
Coke, but cherry or lime or lemon or raspberry. It's, like...
And I always go crazy at it.
Yeah, so it's the same thing as just putting different syrups in your soda.
Yeah. Heather wants a drink, and some random gay hands it to her. And I love that John and Justin were holding hands skating. That was cute.
Yeah.
And then Angie just is like, hey, Lisa, just so you know, I told Heather about the Columbia announcement and she wasn't there.
She's like, why did you tell her? Okay.
And then Heather feels hurt, she thinks. So then Lisa's like, okay, I guess I'm gonna have to talk to Heather about that. And then Lisa gets a little Diet Coke with cream, which she calls Dirty Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. Which I thought, when she said Dirty Diet Coke, she meant, like, with whiskey in it.
All right. Not that kind of dirt.
And then Meredith basically leaves kind of without saying bye to anybody. Just a little Irish exit. And this is when...
Wait, I was confused as to this. So she's not staying because she has beef with Whitney.
I don't think it's the Whitney beef anymore. I think it's the Angie beef. Gotcha. It's that she doesn't want that conversation she knows Angie and her are inevitably about to have to be at a child's birthday party.
Right, okay.
So I think we're going to get that next week.
I'm getting all the drama confused. There's so much going on.
Okay, this is when Heather pulls Monica aside and tells her that Whitney told her that Lisa said that Monica was exaggerating the whole mom thing for attention. And Monica said, Lisa doesn't know anything she's talking about. She said, Lisa is obsessed with her. And she's trying so hard not to say something at this little girl's birthday party that's going to, like, ruin the whole party.
Right.
And she said, Heather goes, in my opinion. And then Lisa screams, like, woo, from the background and skates over.
Yeah.
Perfect timing, Lisa. And she's like, what's going on? And she's like, Whitney told me that you think Monica is embellishing the issues with her mom. And she says, wait, what? Wait, what? And she basically is like, it was a snarky comment, that's it. Which is very not true. Very downplaying what she was saying. She said, I was just excited to meet her and your kids at Easter, and I thought she was nice. And she's like, yeah, my mom is nice and charming, like Ted Bundy.
Nope.
She's abusive. And my kids don't want to be around her. And then Lisa just kind of like, I don't know, there's so much here. But Lisa just kind of keeps saying kind of like what she was thinking about. And then she's like, well, do you want to go ask my kids? Because you don't believe me
in this situation. Maybe you'll believe a five-year-old. Yes. Right? This was a little chaotic. And by little, I mean a lot. But also the whole, yeah, she's charming and charismatic, but so is Ted Bundy comment was like a little, I mean, it was just, it was a lot for like a short, for just the beginning of the conversation.
I think all she meant was like, people can be charming and also be bad people.
Yes. I get the message, but like for, I don't know, it was just a very like, wait, huh? Like,
it's because she like alluded.
Had thought about it before. This isn't the first time she said it.
She said it last week.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, I feel like she's made this reference before.
She said it in her confessional.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like it totally fit. Like we just kind of.
Yeah.
She. I was like, there. Maybe she like could have been a little more groundwork up to that. Like maybe explained it a little bit better. Because I don't think Lisa fully like.
Grasped
in the moment was gonna latch onto that.
Well, so then Lisa kind of turns to Heather and she's like, see what she does blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you're just like my mom, you, like, who last week at dinner, she started talking to a tree as if it was me. And Heather's like, is she comparing me to a tree? And then Lisa's like, is she comparing me to Ted Bundy?
This part was so funny. This
doesn't make any sense, really. She never once compared Lisa to Ted Bundy. She just said, you do kind of things like my mom does.
Yeah. So, it was, this whole thing was strange, but it was exactly the same, and I think that would be really infuriating as a person.
And Lisa did it later, too, to like, when she was talking to Monica, she was like, see what she does, and she's like, right there.
Right, and just talking over them.
Yeah.
And I can't believe her mom was literally talking to a plant. That was stupid.
It was. I mean, I know we said it, it's possible her mom was on some stuff at that dinner.
Yeah.
So... basically, Lisa leaves, and she's, like, she says, like, she keeps saying things that are very below the belt, and she's, like, maybe you are just like your mom.
Ooh.
And then she says, bye, 50-year-old wannabe, and she says, under her breath, I don't think Monica heard it, but, like, 50-year-old wannabe, you're the wannabe with the fake Chanel.
Yeah. Oh, no, she said that after she'd skated off. She's talking to somebody else.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think Monica heard that part.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
she also said, oh, wait, no, that's later on. Never mind.
Well, the thing that I don't love is that, like, later, Angie keeps saying something like, you both hit below the belt. And I'm like, I think just Lisa hit below the belt. She keeps referring to her as her mom, saying that all the abuse stuff is lying. Mm-hmm. And all that she did was say, like, that you're a wannabe. And they keep saying, I think Angie thinks that she called Lisa Ted Bundy. But she didn't do that.
Right. I also think the only criticism I will, at this point, will lay at Monica's feet is, like, and Candace on Potomac can do this, too. Like, when they don't like somebody, it's, some of the attacks are, like, about things people can't control.
True.
Like, the shape of your face. The age that you are. You know what I mean? And okay. I think those are, like, I don't necessarily say it's always below the belt, but it is very, like... childish.
But she didn't say it until, like, the end of the conversation.
I know, and it didn't end well, but at the same time, just constantly being like, bye 50-year-old, bye old hag, bye, bye wrinkles, like, you know. And I think, at some point, I don't know if it was the later one, somebody says, I think it was Lisa was like, you're gonna get older too, like, why are you... And that's the only thing that I don't like about it, her, if you're gonna read somebody, you know, you should be able to... like, what is it that they're doing? What's about them, the specific to them? I mean, I guess their age and appearance are, but, like, some of those things people can't help. Yeah. So I just don't like... I don't like it when people make fun of people for things that they have no control over.
Yeah.
And that's just that.
Yeah, I agree. So then we see Whitney off to the side talking to Bobby. And she's like, my drink has peach, raspberry, coconut, and Dr. Pepper. And Whitney's like, how about we slow down on the soda?
I'm 13, I can drink as much Dr. Pepper as I want.
They go out on the rink and they blow out the candles. They rip down the thing to reveal the golf cart. And then Lisa...
Which was a very big golf cart.
It was a car.
It's like three rows.
It was a car with no doors.
Right.
It was like a Tahoe with no doors. My family had a golf cart growing up, but it was like one seat with like a little bench seat on the back. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that thing.
Yeah, three rows and a bench seat.
I bet that thing goes like 60 miles an hour.
I doubt it, but...
I don't.
Well, I do.
Well, I do. Well, you're a tramp stamp.
Ew. That's probably the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I was referring to what Monica said.
It's still my point holds.
Wow, the meanest thing.
No, it's not. You've said some hateful things. I'm just kidding.
So Lisa pulls Heather aside, and she basically is saying, like, she didn't want to try to throw the whole Jack thing in her face while Heather is on this journey she's been on. And that's why she didn't invite her to the dinner. And she... Heather's like, I don't think I'm on this journey. I'm just kind of, like, living my life. And then Jack comes over and tells her he's going to Bogota. And she said, Felicidades, which is congratulations in Spanish. Uh-huh. And Lisa said...
It's a... Si.
Lisa said, Heather speaks French, which I know she was just saying that because it's like Heather learned French on her trip. But right. Also part of me thinks that she thought Heather said... something in French.
Yeah. I took it more as the first, but the second is definitely funnier.
Yeah. So then they just immediately start talking to each other again, and Jack's kind of like,
oh, okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Well, let me get out of here.
And she says that she just kind of is like, it's not about Jack or the mission or anything like that. It's just that you get to live this life as like, a Mormon, non-Mormon, and do whatever you want. And Heather herself had to be excluded. And Lisa's like, oh, I am a Mormon. 100%. My kid is serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And then they start laughing, which you think means that she was joking.
I think the way the conversation was going and the, like, just, I don't know. Watching Lisa, it just felt like she was saying the right thing. So I think part of her knows, like, she's not... Like, she's saying, she is a Mormon, she goes to church, but, like, deep down she knows she's not, like, other Mormons.
Yeah.
Okay. But she's not going to say that.
Gotcha.
Because that's part of her being a Mormon, non-Mormon. It's how I was feeling.
Okay. Well, they hug and skate off together, and then they show kind of, like, a montage of all their fights, and Heather's kind of like, I think we can finally move on, hopefully. So, that's good.
Yeah.
And Lisa hugs everybody goodbye, kind of like waves goodbye at Monica. And then Angie immediately turns to Monica and is like, you need to fix this. Which I'm like, I don't feel like that's her responsibility to fix it, but go off.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I don't think there's anything to fix. I don't think that she has to fix it except for... I think Angie is already feeling like she's in the middle, and she doesn't like it, so I think that's why she said that.
Yeah.
But I don't think Monica's, like, if she doesn't want to be friends with Lisa, she doesn't have to be, so.
Right.
Or if she wants to, like, let it run its course, then she can. She doesn't have to fix it.
Yeah. Then at Lisa's house, she says they're getting new bedding, and Whitney is coming over to show her how to make the bed. But on Twitter, she said Whitney is her housekeeper.
Oh.
But for some reason, the editors just kept that in as if it was Whitney.
Oh. Yeah, I was very confused. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And Lisa then, like, John is kind of like, how are you? She's like, I'm still decompressing. Monica's crazy. She seems miserable. She just, like, jabs at every time she gets around me. And she equated her mom to Ted Bundy, then equated her mom to me. Then when I was leaving, I saw Angie talking to Monica. Like, they're cool and all this stuff. But then she's like, 3 days ago, me and Angie got dinner, and she said she's not cool with Monica.
But was that before
or after?
Her and Monica made up?
I don't know. We don't know.
But it seems like it was probably a before and after situation.
Hmm. So then John starts kind of talking to her, and he's like, well, what do you think you need from this? And then Lisa gets a text from Whitney and then just never looks back up.
Yeah.
He keeps saying more things like, I'm here if you need me. Like, do you want to talk? And then he's just like, leaves the room, and she's like, love you.
Yeah, it was crazy how fast she, like,
switched.
Disappeared.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Awkward.
Although, sometimes, if you get on your little phone, you don't hear a word anyone says.
Yeah, but there's a difference between that and me leaving the conversation before. It's not like you're talking to me, and then I just start watching TikTok
That's
or something.
True.
Like, if I'm just doing that on my own time, and then you start talking to me, I might not hear you.
That's true. Then, at Heather's house, we see her daughter getting ready for prom, and she basically is saying, like, he's dating a Muslim. No, she's dating a Muslim. Sorry. And she thinks it's a good thing for her daughter to be, like, dating people who are might be of a different religion, and she just thinks it's so great seeing her daughter be, like, not confined to these restrictions that she felt like she had to be under when she was her age.
Right. I think I took it more... I mean, I'm sure the diversity part is... I feel like Heather would agree with that, but I thought it was more of her being like... Her daughters lost their friend group because of...
She did say that too.
Of her, and they also... They themselves also, I think, made the decision to, like, step back from Mormonism.
Yeah.
So, in you know, but regardless, her kids lost their friend group, and so now she's found at least somebody else that she can spend her time with. Like, she's not just, like, singled out and alone at all times.
Right. So, then at Whitney's Prism event, did you like the jewelry that you saw?
I only saw one, and it looked like a Cuban, were they called Cuban links?
They were all wearing the jewelry, too. I don't know if you noticed that.
No.
I actually like some of them. One of them's, like, a little sun, almost, and each, like, little... rod is a crystal,
mm-hmm.
and they also have matching earrings onto that, which I liked, and I liked the rings. I went on her website, and I like that she, like, actually found someone who is, like, spiritual and someone who makes jewelry and, like, brought it all together to make, like, an actual jewelry brand, not just, like, whatever Karen Huger always does and just finds, like, a person that's already making candles and slaps her name on it.
Right.
So it does seem like a legit, like, hopefully cool business that she's starting.
Mm-hmm.
But Justin comes up behind her and he's like, you look hot as fuck. So do you think they're on the mends?
Yeah, I think they overhyped their marital. Like, they made it seem like they were having, like, actual issues, and really they're just, like, going through some growing pains.
Yeah.
But they're fine.
Yeah. So then Lisa comes first and starts talking to Angie. And Angie also is wearing this, like, the bodysuit that I feel like we've seen a million housewives wear in the past.
Mm.
I don't know if you noticed that.
The blue one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then Angie's like, it's just hard, Lisa, because basically now the story is that you don't believe Monica's relationship with her mom is abusive. And instead of Lisa saying, that's not what I meant or whatever, she's like, I saw how poorly she treated her mom. So, she is making an excuse, basically.
Right. I mean, at some point she says, I'm going off what I've seen, and all I've seen is that you talked bad to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And how you talked to me, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
From that perspective, I mean, sure. But if somebody's giving you, and the whole reason this conversation came up is because Monica's now giving context. Why did we have an explosive conversation? Well, this is why. Well, you don't know, right? So... the whole point is that you've seen her, that happen, and now she's giving you context as to why that happened.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go with it?
Right.
Right.
So then Lisa's basically like, I felt like you weren't there for me yesterday, and Angie's like, I was there, trust me. which I did not see that part, but she says she was taking her side and standing up for her yesterday. And I'm like, I don't...
Wait, who?
Angie said that at the skating rink thing, that she was standing up for Lisa.
I mean, she did tell Monica that she had to fix it.
That's
which,
true.
Which in a way is... I mean, and who... I mean, maybe she said some other things as well.
So then Lisa goes and gets a drink, and Monica and Angie catch up at the bar. And Angie feels like she's in the middle of things. Angie said she thinks they both went low last night. And Monica said she feels like she's only been here for 5 minutes, and everyone's already telling her that she has to fix things and has to, like, deal with this issue. When she doesn't really want to, it sounds like.
Yeah. Right now. She's also clarifying that she doesn't bring this up.
That's what it mainly is, yeah.
Yeah. At the roller rink.
She's like, Heather, I'm always in drama, but it's because everybody brings it up to me.
Right. Heather brought it up, and then Lisa came over, and it went from there. And now Angie's bringing it up, and it goes from there.
Yeah. There are so much said here. I feel like I don't need to say all of it.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things. They like, pull each other to aside, like, to go all three talk, I guess. And pretty much immediately, they both start kind of, like, tit-for-tatting. Whitney goes to give her speech. And even, like, before Whitney starts giving her speech, they start, like, saying things under their breath. And Lisa says Monica needs to chill the fuck out. She, like, then tries to kind of walk away. But then, like, they keep somehow getting pulled back into each other's orbit. And she said, you bore me. And then Monica said, somebody needs attention. And then she said, you're not my mother. I don't need to listen to you. And under her breath, she says to Angie, no one wants to be her mother, clearly.
Right.
That's and gonna, I think she heard that.
Right. That's gonna...
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good look.
Definitely not. So then Monica is, like, talking about Whitney, and she's like, she has the best legs. And then Lisa says, don't be fake as fuck. And she wasn't even saying anything about her.
So right. I was like, what? Why did she think that was... Yeah.
I don't know. They just keep going back and forth. And this is when Whitney reveals she's found, like, a gemologist and a healer, and they're gonna, a spiritual person to make this brand what it is. And the whole time they're still whispering to each other, and then Whitney says they're gonna start the sound bath. Which, every time they have a sound bath on the show, it's silent. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine anybody else was talking.
Nope.
And it wasn't that big of a room that they could just sneak away and have this little conversation. Mm-hmm. So, Angie feels like she's in the middle. Of course she does, because she literally is.
Physically in the middle, right?
Yeah. The sound bath starts. Lisa says, I based everything on a judgment that I saw of you because of how you treated your mom and how you treated me. And she said, you don't know about the situation. And they keep, like, mimicking each other's voice. And she's like, do you not, Monica? And she's like, you don't know about my situation, Lisa. And then Whitney says, Lisa Barlow. Shh. across the room.
This is probably what tipped Lisa over. Lisa being criticized publicly in front of everybody.
Yeah.
She probably was like, oh, I'm going to get you, bitch.
She says, I want to enjoy the sound bowl. Yeah, you would. It's for old people.
This is another thing where I'm like, no, girl.
And Angie says, that's really low because I'm older than her. And she says, but you wear it. Like, you wear being old to Lisa. And she's like, that's because I want to be natural, not look like a Pillsbury Dough girl. And Whitney's like, should I ask them to leave?
Yeah.
She said, where's Meredith when you need her? And then they show the you can leave scene.
You can leave.
Lisa says, like, please stop talking to me. And she mimics her back. There's just a bunch of things that keep coming up here. Monica said that Lisa's like a tramp stamp, begging for attention wherever she goes. Then Lisa tries to have some response, and Monica calls her mediocre.
Basically, okay.
Monica calls her a bitch.
Yeah. Which in straight lady talk is pretty bad.
Yeah. And Whitney finishes the sound bath and is like, I hope you've all found your what you need, but some of you, I know, were a little distracted back there, so I hope everyone found peace. And they just keep going back and forth, until finally they break away. Nothing new really happens, I don't think. And, oh, they get into each other's face, which I watched it back. Lisa does, like, jump straight at her.
Yeah.
Which is...
Lisa's getting hot.
And I feel like Monica, for how she talks about, like, you don't know me, I'll, like, beat someone's ass, was holding, giving restraint in that moment. Because I was like, that was a clear, like, in-your-face moment. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on it?
I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Do you want me to, like, finish up what how the episode ends and then we talk about it, or do you want to talk about it now?
You can finish. Okay, if you want to do it that way.
I just feel like there's not much happens, really, but Lisa starts talking to Whitney about it, and is like, can you believe all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And Whitney's like, I really need... Oh, also, earlier, they were, like, literally fighting in line for checkout, so Lisa or Whitney couldn't check anybody if her customer's out.
Yeah.
Then they're over here, and Whitney's like, I really need to help the customers, and Lisa's like, too bad, I'm gonna keep talking about my situation. And then just all on a dime leaves without saying bye.
Yeah.
Weird. And at some point, Monica comes up and hugs her and also leaves, and Whitney is just really annoyed by the whole thing. Like, she says it in her confessional, and that's the end of the episode.
Okay. Starting with the end, I'm always a little annoyed when these people get really upset about, like, fights at their events. Okay. I mean, I guess they have to say it, and, like, they have to include these moments in their lives on the show, because it's what you sign up to do, and also, it's good, I mean, it's good for your brand image or whatever, even if there is a fight, but, like, I'm just like, can we not, like, give airtime to you complaining about, you know... I can't believe they're doing this here. Type, like, not that she said it like that, but I just mean that
I kind of understand.
It's very tired to
You can just wait till after the fucking sound bath. It's not like they're that long.
Yeah, but that made it better.
Or just don't
stay next to each other. Listen, this argument, this fight, scrumptious. And let me tell you why. I was equal parts entertained and annoyed at how petty and childish they were being.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. Because, and I both think they said, I think Lisa said the most below the belt thing, but they both were being a little too extra, and petty, and I just love when somebody says, I'm so bored of you, because you got that bitch. If somebody says bored, and they stay in the conversation, they are not bored.
Yeah.
They are pressed. And Lisa is flattened at how pressed she is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, she is crisp with folded edges. Monica has gotten inside her little brain and has squeezing it. At least it's like... And I just am so entertained by it. And yeah. And I hate when people do that. I hate when people say that. They're like, oh, like, it's just such a non-insult unless you are actually bored. If you're like, oh, you're boring and I'm bored, then you wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So you can't, I mean, you got to back up what you're saying. The actions do not match the words. Definitely. So now you're just, you thought you said something that was going to be hurtful, but now you look stupid.
So at the end of this episode, did you feel it kind of changed your perspective on Lisa at all?
I definitely think she lost.
The battle.
I think they both lost a little bit as far as like, maybe... No, they didn't really lose. I don't think Lisa handled it well, and I definitely think of the two, I preferred Monica in the situation, even though some of the things Monica said I thought were, like, unnecessary, but Lisa looks worse. Although I don't like or dislike Lisa any more or less because of it.
I think I like her less after this episode.
I think you're just seeing a part of her, like, we haven't really seen anybody get... to her like this in a while.
Not because of that part. Because immediately she just is like discounting everything Monica says about her relationship with her mom and how bad it is. But
that's because she doesn't like her. She doesn't want that to be true because she just wants to dislike her. She doesn't want to have any reason to like give her any consideration.
I get that. I just don't think. I don't know.
I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying I'm not surprised. I'm saying it doesn't change my view of Lisa because I already thought Lisa was very self-absorbed.
Yeah, but you can be self-absorbed and believe victims. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't surprising to me, I guess.
Yeah.
Although I think she is wrong for it. And
apparently her leaving her mom at the Easter party is abusive. Like, I don't know. It just, to me, it doesn't...
But we already said, Lisa should not be using that word in reference to Monica.
Exactly.
Right.
And I lost respect because she is.
I could say that, too. I mean, I think she is wrong for doing that.
Sorry, you go, and then I'll... I just wanted to...
There was a part in what... The other part of this was that Angie... was physically in the middle, but there was she kept saying she was in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, in the middle, and then at one point, I think Lisa said, you're not in the middle, and then after that, she said, I'm not in the middle, and I was like, wait, what?
She did say that. Monica also got mad that Lisa was telling her to shut up.
And I liked that Monica was like, what are you doing? Because it is, I think the fight was so large, I don't know if I would have focused on it too much. But the fact that Lisa is telling Angie how to act and behave, and Angie is doing that, is a little strange.
True.
Because I do like Angie. Well, I thought this was the first time I had positive thoughts about Angie. But like, why are you doing that?
Monica to be liked by everybody. You can't always have that.
And I like that, but I do like that Monica pointed it out and was pressing Angie to stand up for herself and be her own person. Yeah. I did like that.
I just want to stand up for Whitney. I just think...
For Whitney!
No, if I was starting a new business, let's say, and I had it on a show like this, wait till the people are done buying the jewelry, wait till the sound bath is done, and then have your little fight over in the corner. And it'll still get airtime, it'll still... all this stuff. I know it was good TV. I'm not saying it was bad TV. All I'm saying is I understand why Whitney would be peeved off because they're literally getting in the way of her making money.
I disagree.
If we were in that situation, let's say we weren't really that big of Housewives fans or whatever, and we were there to buy the jewelry, and then you look over and people are fighting in the line to check out, you would just leave.
No.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Imagine old people in Utah. They come into the store thinking they're going to buy new jewelry.
Okay. The people who... First of all, you know that you cannot be at that event without having signed something saying that you're going to be on camera. You know that this is being filmed. You know, Whitney, if you're there... Most people... I will grant that maybe there's a handful, a small percentage of people who were like... who knew the other women.
Yeah.
Or whatever that were there... and are not really Housewives fans, but people who are there, I think for the most part, are aware that it's Housewives, and that this is a show about women who fight and get along, or whatever, and are rich, for the most part. So, I really don't think anybody, in fact, I think it was probably entertaining for the people there, and I'm sure it gave them something to talk about. So, I really don't think it's that big of a deal, personally. Given exhibit A, B, and C. But I get what I can see, don't stand it, don't fight in the checkout line.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
We are trying to move some product.
And when Whitney is saying, I need to get back to customers, and Lisa's like, no, my stuff's more important, I am a little bit like, Lisa, just chill. You can decompress with Whitney later.
That's good. It's the only thing that exists is what she's thinking about.
True. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why I expect Whitney or Lisa to care about other people's what's going on in their lives. So all of a sudden, all right. So next time on, we get the scene. Do you think I look inbred? And Mary says I do, but then we also get her saying, and that's coming from a truth teller. Then Monica's mom, like, comes to her house, and Monica, like, goes out and is like, what the fuck are you doing here? So I don't know what that's about. But I'm assuming it's, like, she doesn't want her to be around the kids and her right now, and she's told her that, and then she's coming up trying to bust the door anyway, basically.
Yeah. Well, and apparently the kids don't want her around either.
Yeah. So then Whitney, we see, is, like, mad at Lisa about this whole thing. Then we see Lisa is mad at Angie about this whole thing. And then at Heather's book event, we see Angie finally confront Meredith. And she's like, you're the one that tried to threaten my family, basically. Mm-hmm. Threatened to ruin my family. And she's like, I didn't threaten that. And then she's like,
she did.
I know you did.
Yeah. The rumors and the nastiness.
So.
That's another thing we didn't talk about in this episode was how Lisa seems to be mad at Angie because Angie was mad at Monica for the rumor thing. Wait, what was like, it was so convoluted.
Lisa's mad.
So Lisa's mad because she's like, I had your back against Monica on this. But that doesn't change Lisa and Monica's conflict. So unless Lisa is thinking Angie should be on Lisa's side.
Lisa just wants somebody to not like Monica as much as she does. And everyone else is kind of liking her.
Right. Okay.
And then Monica and Angie kind of get along.
Right.
So now Lisa has no one against Monica except herself. Mm, okay. So then she looks bad.
Right. Okay.
And that's basically just the whole episode, honestly.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see Meredith finally have to, like...
Call it to the carpet girl.
Talk about her actions. Mm-hmm. And see if she actually is going to give some kind of excuse. Say that's not what she was going to say. Say what she was going to say.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in the return of Mary Cosby. One, because I'm not disappointed with the one-liners because she's always delivering on those. And she is a little kooky, which is nice in her, like, few confessionals. But I feel like she's not committed. And also, you have to balance out, like, the meanness with sincerity.
Mm.
And I don't, even if it's not direct niceness, and I feel like maybe she did that a little bit more when she was on the show, because she had more time, maybe she could, like, express more vulnerable sides and, like, maybe say things that were nice.
I don't think she's ever said anything.
I feel like there's been at least a few things that were a little redeemable, but it's just, like, the meanness. It's like, okay, so it's very one note, and so now I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Mary's just being mean, and, like, I'm over it.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, like, I feel like her and Heather have never really... like, truly beefed, and then now they're just gonna beef about, or, like, somehow the conversation's gonna turn into Mary calling her inbred, so.
So anyways.
I will say, Heather looked really good at BravoCon. I thought everyone looked really good at BravoCon, actually.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Alright, well, did you see Jessel had a little interview, and someone asked, like, who do you think is the sloppiest housewife? And she was like, Heather Gay? And everyone gasped, and she was like, was I not supposed to say that?
Wow. Wow. She didn't even do anything on our own franchise. She just came after somebody else.
I bet it's just that, like, she got really drunk, like, night one or something like that. That's the only thing I can think of, because it doesn't even seem like they would know each other, really.
I mean, and there was
And Heather does sometimes get sloppy drunk.
And the time they were at... Well, when you said sloppy, I thought you meant, like dress and act.
I think that is what the person meant, but I can see Jessel saying it, like, in terms of that.
Oh. But yeah, the party where they had the black eye situation, and, like, her and Jen were, like,
rubbing their titties on the...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to party with her, honestly.
T.
Heather, not Jen.
Oh, duh.
All right, well, that was another episode in the books. If you enjoyed it, definitely subscribe. And if you listen on Spotify, I put up a poll each week so you can vote on that poll. And we have an Instagram, which is just at Privileged Twinks, where I post like the little memes I see all over Twitter and post when the episode goes live, because I know, you know, it's never consistent. And also, it's just a forum we can talk about in the comments what we thought about this week, what we thought about our show, things like that. So give us a follow. It's at Privileged Twinks. And I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let's give him a sound bowl out.
Goodbye.